Hey everybody, Brian Armstrong here with the Quest Gaming Network, and I want to preface this episode of Total Heroes with a bit of an apology. I have to apologize because I'm doing this show without Shank and Dave this week, who are out and not around, and they've completely left me at the helm of the ship, and I have no idea what the heck I'm doing. We're still doing the show because I have a great guest in Joseph Bradford, our news director, who is at E3, so we wanted to get you something this week. We wanted to do it. It's not the same format that we normally do, and the audio quality may not be quite up to par with what you're normally used to from this show, but bear with us. I hope you enjoy the show. There's a lot of great stuff in there from Bradford, who is live at E3, and it's awesome. Don't forget the show is brought to you by audibletrial.com/questgamingnetwork. You can download great audio books and tweaked audio. We can listen to those great audio books with some great earbuds. So sit back and enjoy the show. And since I have no idea how to put our actual theme song in there, because I don't know where the file is and how to get it and all that, I'm going to slap in a theme song to my radio show called Progressing the Metal, because it's pretty awesome, and we should use that anyway. So, yeah, enjoy the show. Welcome, everybody, to Totally Heroes, QGN's most awesome show, especially this week because I am here. Brian Armstrong is my name, and Dave Dienforce Adams is not here. Oh. And Shank the Tank is also not here. Oh. Which is why it's the greatest show, because it's just me and Joseph Bradford. Welcome, Joe.
What's happening, everybody? I am currently sitting in a very small hotel room in LA, just getting done with the first day of E3. Quite a day. Quite a flippin' day. How are you doing, Brian?
I'm doing great. It sounds like it has been a great time. We do have a little bit of audio lag going on here, but I'm going to try to apply my editing mastery and then make it sound all seamless when it finally hits the airwaves. So we'll see how that goes. But yes, we are talking about E3 today. It's a special show. It's so special. We had to kick off Dave and Shank just to bring in Bradford because he's got so much amazing stuff to share with us. So it's going to be a great show. It's going to be a little different than our normal formats. we're going to do our best to make it as entertaining and informational as possible. So let's get started. Let's talk about some of the new press briefings that we saw yesterday. We're recording this right now. It's Tuesday, so it's the day after all the big press briefings from Microsoft, Sony, Ubisoft, and EA. And so we're going to be talking about those. Mm-hmm. We'll talk a little bit about Nintendo as well, probably, as we get going. But Bradford, you were at the Microsoft event yesterday, which is the first one. It kicks off the entire week of E3. So let's get started by talking a little bit about your first impressions, your overall impressions of the show from your seat there at the venue. What was it like being there?
Well, I got there after driving all night. I left my house in Vegas at like 1:30 in the morning. I got to the Galen Center at about 7 o'clock, so a lot of time spent in the car, so I was just happy to get out of the car. Then stood in line for another 2 hours. They put these real funky big wristbands on me. Last year they just gave us a lanyard with a little card that said, hey, yeah, you're here, great, awesome. This year they didn't give us that. Your entry in there was by wearing one of those bulky wristbands, which turned out to be an interactive LED wristband that interacted with the rest of the show. It lights up whenever you clap, which obviously they want that because they can see when you're clapping. They couldn't hear it as well, but it was also pretty cool because whenever a demo was being displayed or a trailer was being shown, you could look out on the audience and you see all the different myriad of colors. And normally they coincided with the main color scheme of like the logo of the game. So like for instance, when Evolve was showing, half the stadium had orange wristbands because the main colors in that is orange and black. As for the actual press briefing itself, it was a lot better than it was last year. Last year was good. Don't get me wrong. Yeah, mm-hmm. Brian, you were at last year's event. It was good. It was the very end of the event that kind of sucked the air out of the building when they announced the price. Other than that, I mean, you got to agree with me. The press briefing was really good. There were a lot of cool things shown, a lot of cool tech shown. They spent some time on some things that other people didn't like, not myself. I did like all of the original things, but I'm weird like that, I guess. But the show itself was really good, and then when Phil Spencer announced the price, that's when it became bad. You didn't have that deflating moment this year. It was from the minute Phil walked in on stage and acknowledged everybody in the industry. You know, he mentioned Sony and Nintendo by name, mentioned that this game is going, this press conference is going to be all about games, and then it was wall to wall games for 90 minutes.
Yeah.
I think that was the biggest departure from what we saw last year. We saw a more humbled Microsoft. We saw a more determined Microsoft to get the core gamer back. And I think their press briefing showed that perfectly.
Yeah, I think, you know, from what we saw this week compared to last year, it's definitely a huge step in the right direction. It showed, you know, for the first time in a while that they really are listening. Microsoft is listening to their fans and their critics, and they're saying, okay, this, we're going about things maybe the wrong way with our core audience. Let's switch up our messaging, switch up our focus, and talk about games. That's what they want to hear about. So we're going to do that. And they made their entire show about games, which, as we'll talk later, may have even been better than what Sony did. We'll get there. I have my gripes about that one. But yes, last year they had the air... the air sucked out of the gymnasium with that price announcement. That didn't happen this year. This time, in my opinion, the game announcements weren't all that exciting. As we've kind of talked back and forth on Twitter about, a lot of the stuff was stuff we already knew about or was heavily rumored, so we were pretty sure it was coming. There was nothing new that really blew me away as like, oh yes, that's amazing, I can't wait to get my hands on that or to see more of that. But overall, it was a very games-heavy conference, and that was amazing, amazing to see, and I was really glad they went that route. So, Bradford, what were you going to say there? Sorry, I cut you off.
Well, the other thing that I was going to say was you noticed a trend with their press conference as well, and this is something that you noticed with Sony as well. They were touting exclusives, whether it be exclusive time DLC or whether it be just the exclusives themselves. With the exception of very few games like Assassin's Creed and The Witcher, every game that was shown, and the new Tomb Raider game, every game that was shown, they had some sort of exclusive with it, whether it be, you know, like Activision is going to be giving Microsoft all the exclusive content first on Call of Duty Advanced Warfare, Evolve, all of your DLC, all of your add-on content will be first with games like Ori and the Blind Forest, that's the new Phantom Dust, Crackdown. Every single thing there, they were showing you, okay, yes, our system may not be the most powerful. They didn't say that. But this is why you want a game on an Xbox. You want a game on the Xbox because you're going to get this content first. You are going to get this awesome lineup of exclusive games. Fable Legends, you're not going to play that on PlayStation. You're not going to play Phantom Dust on PlayStation. You're going to only get those experiences on Xbox One. Project Spark, you may get that on Windows 8.1 if you have that, or you'll get it on Xbox One. If you want the first content with Dragon Age Inquisition, you're going to play it on Xbox. That was the big theme for me the entire time, and I think that they succeeded very well in making sure that gamers knew that if you want stuff first, Microsoft is going to be willing to pay so that you get that stuff first. And myself, I am a Microsoft fanboy, as everyone here will attest to. You know, I'm always going to be looking at the bright side of things with Microsoft because that's the console I own. The thing is, though, I'm not a fan of timed exclusives to the point where if only one console is getting it, because that means that the industry as a whole isn't doing well. I was happy to see that Sony also has exclusive stuff, you know, Destiny and stuff like that. So I'm okay with there being exclusives. I know people aren't normally with timed exclusives and stuff like that. It's just the nature of the beast, unfortunately. We got to deal with it as a gamer because that's how companies make a lot of their money. You can't tell me that Activision is making a huge amount of money from Microsoft for that.
Yeah, and real quick, again, I apologize, folks, if the audio lag on this episode is particularly bad. We're getting some crazy. Bradford's in a hotel with the worst internet connection possible. I'm at my house, and I think everybody here is probably streaming something to their laptop or tablet. It's ridiculous. So I apologize, guys. But yes, I also do not care for all the timed exclusives. It's something that we have to deal with. I don't love it. I understand it's the nature of the business these days. And if Microsoft is going to take a stand, or if Sony is going to take a stand and say, we're not going to do that anymore, because our fans don't like it, well, they're gonna miss out. They're gonna miss out on huge business opportunities because the other companies can say, okay, sure, we'll take all those exclusive deals, and all of your fans will come over to us because we get the game first, we get the DLC first, that kind of thing. So, unfortunately, is the nature of the business. That's how it is, and you know, I don't like it either. I don't think many people do, except maybe fans of those consoles who don't necessarily pay attention to the bigger picture. But it's just how it is. I don't see it changing anytime soon. Bradford, do you have anything else you'd like to say about Microsoft before we move on to the next big conference of the day, which I believe was EA, correct?
Yeah, it was EA. We do have a post on the website, questgamingnetwork.com. We actually have a reaction post for all four of these, so make sure you go read those as well, because they're going to give you some insight on the individual authors. We actually have four writers in the work. I don't know if you guys remember this, but we have more than just myself, Brian, and Shank writing. We've got a guy named Jason as well who's very good. So you're going to get an insight to what each one of us thinks about these different press conferences. So let's go ahead and move on to EA. I was at EA, though you couldn't tell by where I was standing, because I was watching it on TV, but I was there. So it was so different. You know, last year they had the stage, they, you know, had the one screen, and they had like the stadium style seating, right, Brian?
Right. Yeah, I was way up high last year. I was way up high, way in the back. I mean, it was cool and all, but yeah, I was so far away I could hardly see anything. A TV would have been better.
Well, okay, that wasn't the case this time. They basically had this like big view with this massive, you know, probably 30, 40 foot tall screen. They had a bunch of tables in the center on the ground floor, which turned out that they were catering the event. Now I realize why my invitation said it was from 12 to 2, because they wanted you to stay and play Battlefield Hardline and eat pizza, and I almost did. But I had been up almost, you know, 70 to 48 hours at that point. I wanted to go check into my hotel room, so, and I didn't want to pay for parking as long as I had to. So I did leave, but I got there, and they're talking about UFC when I get there. I guess they had already shown Mass Effect. I did get there a little late because of traffic. I was leaving straight from Microsoft. I started at noon. I didn't get my car from Microsoft until about 11:45. So I got there a little late. They had already shown Mass Effect. They were showing UFC, NHL, sports games. Okay, I do love sports games, but I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time talking about them.
Yeah.
What I did like, however, was the end of the press conference, was the Battlefield Hardline talk. That game made me think back to when I used to play Cops and Robbers on the Air Force Base, and we were all on our bikes just riding around this vast Air Force Base playing Cops and Robbers. Now, obviously, we weren't shooting each other and doing billions of dollars of damage to a downtown city, but it was still a lot of fun. And that game, I don't own Battlefield 4. If this is a standalone game, which I think it is, I'm buying Battlefield Hardline because I want to play Cops and Robbers and be able to destroy massive cities and stuff like that. Brian, you probably saw more of the press conference than I did.
Yeah, I did see the whole thing. Before I go back and cover some of the stuff that you maybe didn't get a chance to see, as far as Battlefield Hardline goes, I don't know what to say about that, because I feel like from what I saw, it looks exactly like Battlefield 4, just basically a different multiplayer game mode. I feel like that game mode could have been added to Battlefield 4 and it would have been the same thing. So I'm a little confused what is going to be new. I mean, I think that's obviously why it's not Battlefield 5, because it's just sort of a modification on the current game. I did get in the beta.
Yeah.
Yay. So I'm going to check that out after the show tonight, and maybe I'll be pleasantly surprised. And I mean, I'll play it. I don't know if I want to spend $60 on it, but it looks interesting. I just feel like maybe from what we've seen so far, it could have just been, you know, maybe a new DLC pack or something for Battlefield 4. But we'll find out. I'll try to keep you guys posted on my thoughts on that.
I will say real quick, though.
Yeah.
When Adam Boyes came out on stage and they dropped the flipping curtain all around everybody with all the PS4s lining the building.
Yeah.
That was cool.
That looked pretty
cool.
That's
it. All right, go on.
All right. So, yeah, so they kicked off the conference in what could have been a really awesome way, but I feel like was a pretty disappointing way, actually. The first thing they showed was Star Wars Battlefront. But instead of, you know, blasting in with the Star Wars theme music and some great cool video montage of maybe a little snippet of gameplay or CGI or something, it was basically a developer diary, and they showed some models from the actual LucasArts Museum and how they could use those to make the game. And I was just thinking, God, they missed an opportunity to make this big, huge, roaring opening to their show of Star Wars, and really it's just some guys standing around talking about their toys and their models and stuff. That would have made a great, bonus content when you buy the game in a couple years or whatever, but I felt like as far as an opening to their conference was just kind of ridiculous, actually. But that game, yeah. I mean, we still haven't seen any of it, but I have high hopes for that one. Then they kicked into Dragon Age Inquisition. They gave us a real good look at that one. A lot of people saying that looks a lot like Oblivion, Elder Scrolls IV Oblivion. Even Jason in the article mentioned that it looked like Oblivion, even a similar story. So I haven't seen a whole lot of that game yet, but it looks really, really beautiful and looks like it could be a lot of fun. So I can't wait to check that out. It's on October 7th, which is when and about every other game is coming out.
The line to see Inquisition today at the A booth was around the booth. It was huge. So wow. I'm probably not going to see Inquisition while I'm here, just so you guys know.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's understandable because this game hasn't really been out there yet. Nobody's really seen it, so everybody wants to go and see it. So that's understandable. Next up, we got a glimpse at, like you said, Mass Effect. Let's see. Oh, and Jason said that in the article, he said BioWare announced they were working on a new IP. We don't know anything about it, but we'll have to wait and see, I guess. We saw a little bit on The Sims 4. Actually, we saw a lot on The Sims 4, maybe even a little more than they should have shown. I don't know if that's exactly the audience that's watching these conferences, if it's The Sims fans. I think it's more the Battlefield fans, the Battlefront fans, those kinds of guys. So it seems like they spent a lot of time on The Sims, and maybe they could have showed us something else instead. But, people love that game, and it could be interesting. As you said, we saw some UFC. We got to see a little bit from Criterion Games, which actually, this was interesting to me.
That looks cool.
Yeah, I don't know what it is exactly. There wasn't even a name, I don't believe. Basically, it's just a game where you're jumping from helicopters and you're flying in like a fly suit kind of thing. You're riding ATVs, you're flying planes, helicopters, driving cars, driving boats, jet skis, the snow ones, what are they called? Jeez, what are those called in the snow? Snowmobiles. Those kind of things. All these different kinds of, exciting vehicles that, you don't normally play in games. It's going to be interesting. I don't know what it is exactly. They haven't named it. I don't know what the goal of the game is or when it's coming or anything soon, but what they showed looked interesting. And again, they didn't show much. It was more of a developer diary thing again, which was frustrating because they weren't really telling us anything except all these big, beautiful buzzwords, and to trust them that it's going to be awesome. So hopefully it is. It looks interesting. But after that, we saw, like you said, a little bit of PGA Tour Golf, John Madden Football, FIFA 15, NHL 15. Again, we don't want to spend a whole lot of time talking about sports games because they just, people like them, but they're, basically the same thing every year. So
better yet, go read the article that Jason wrote.
Yes, he gives you all the details.
QuestGamingNetwork.com. He does go into a little bit of detail. He's got one of the trailers there. And the lag is bad because I was saying, that looks cool to actually UFC. that game looks cool. It looks, they had a technical demo of it at the EA booth last year, and that game looks so great.
Yeah.
I will be Shank, and I will play that game for graphics alone, probably.
All right.
Speaking of graphics, Far Cry 4 looked awesome at Ubisoft.
Yeah, it did. Maybe we should talk about some Ubisoft then.
Yeah, maybe you should talk about some Ubisoft and I'll be quiet because I did not see this one at all.
Wow, the segues are getting a lot better on the show without Dave and Shank here. Jeez, that's amazing.
I know, huh?
Speaking of which, Total Heroes is brought to you, of course, by audibletrial.com. Head over to audibletrial.com/questgamingnetwork and you can get a free audiobook. You get a free membership for 30 days, so it gives you access to one free audiobook, and I highly recommend it. I've been talking about it for a few weeks now, but you got to get the book Console Wars. Even if you just sign up at audibletrial.com/questgamingnetwork for the 1 month, the free book, get your free book of Console Wars because it is so good. Like it's literally the best thing I've read or listened to in a long time because it's so detailed. It has amazing interviews and just all the backstory between the Sega and or about the Sega and the Nintendo console war, and God, it's just great. It's so good. I've actually talked to the author a few times on Twitter. He's a very friendly guy, and we'll be happy to chat with you if you've read it or if you want to go pick it up and talk to him. Blake J. Harris on Twitter. It's just a great book. I can't recommend it enough. That's not just advertising fluff. It's actually true. It's a great book. You got to go get it. Get your free trial at audibletrial.com/QuestGamingNetwork and download Console Wars today. All right. So, yes, Ubisoft. I did get a chance to see this one. I wrote up a little piece for QuestGamingNetwork.com.
I heard people danced.
People did dance. That is absolutely true. And that's very unfortunate, actually. Yes, this conference was, you know, basically like the rest of them. You know, a lot of fluff, a lot of buzzwords, a lot of, you know, trust us, it's going to be beautiful or an awesome, those kinds of things. But there were some interesting and some cool announcements as well. The biggest one, we'll start at the very end of this one because I think it's the most important, in my mind anyway, is that Rainbow Six Siege was announced. There's my daughter coughing. Hello, Reese. Yes, Rainbow Six Siege was announced. This is basically, if you heard a few years ago, Rainbow Six Patriots was a game that they were working on. That kind of disappeared. We haven't heard anything about it in 4 or 5 years now. But they're back now with Rainbow Six Siege. It looks like a great tactical first-person shooter, very much in the style of the old Rainbow Six games. A lot more fluid, a lot more maybe action-based than before. But I thought it looked really cool. It's still really early, and this was obviously an early, early version, and, you know, who knows what it'll actually look like when it's released. But Bradford, did you get a chance at all to see that multiplayer trailer that they put out, or have you had any time at all to see that?
Yeah, that was the only thing I saw. I got back to my hotel room. I was sitting at a little diner, eating food, following Twitter. I sat down, got back to the hotel room, sat down, and I caught the tail end, and it was basically as they were starting Rainbow Six. And I had just listened to last week's episode of Totally Heroes while driving to L.A., and I remembered, and said Rainbow Six is coming back.
Yeah, okay. That was my Hero bold prediction.
Check.
Yes, I know.
Shanks
I
came
through
as well. That E3 that Microsoft was stuck with Call of Duty. Dave was almost correct this morning. He said that Satoru Iwata would come out with a white screen. He didn't.
That's right. He was close.
Sorry, Dave. Anyways, go on. Rainbow Six Siege looked pretty cool. Crappy. Acting aside.
The guys who were playing the multiplayer game was obviously scripted.
Ubisoft, nobody flipping talks like that when you're playing a video game. Actual gamers.
Yeah,
come on.
It wouldn't have been that hard, and it would have been just fine, but whatever. It still looked good. I think it looks great. We probably won't see this at least until late 2015, maybe 2016.
But... Yeah, this is the thing. Real quick, going back to that.
Yeah.
If they're afraid of people cursing... your thing already had curse words.
Yeah, it did.
So just get like 6 gamers together, tell them they're playing the game, make them sign some release form that says you may be recorded, and then just use that.
Yeah. They could even just get their employees doing it, because even if the employees are just doing it for fun, tell them, go play for 2 hours, we'll record it, we'll pick out the best, you know, 5 minutes of gameplay, and we'll use that. And I mean, it would be natural, it'd be real, and be fine, but, you know, whatever.
That being said, it looked pretty cool.
Yes, it looked awesome. I was very excited. And speaking of looking awesome, Far Cry 4, we saw the first 5 minutes of the game in this particular press conference.
Playable.
It's playable at E3, yes, so Bradford will hopefully get a chance to check it out. At Ubisoft, we saw this twice yesterday. We saw Ubisoft show it. We saw Sony show it a little bit. But at the Ubisoft press conference, we saw the first 5 minutes of the game, where you get a good look at the main bad guy in the game, who definitely looks crazy, definitely looks psychotic, and like you really want to do something very, very nasty to him. But it looked, from that little bit that we saw in this trailer, it looked pretty awesome. But what did you think? Have you had a chance to see that one, or did you not quite get there?
I did not. No. I still did not see that.
Okay.
I just remember everyone saying it looked awesome. Like I said, the only thing I saw of this press conference was the Rainbow Six Siege.
Okay.
So...
All right, well, yeah, so that looked good. Go check out the trailer, questgamingnetwork.com. We got a link to that Ubisoft press conference there. Go check out that trailer. Also, we know you all love Just Dance. Well, Ubisoft had something
Just
in store
Dance.
For you.
They had
an amazing stage demo of this game. And when I say amazing, I mean absolutely horrible and boring. But if you're a fan of this game, whatever. But I still think if you're a fan of this game, you're not watching this press conference. I don't understand why it's shown at these kind of events. But They showed Just Dance, and they also showed, while we're talking about crazy, ridiculous motion games, Shape Up, which is a new fitness game.
They're talking Just Dance because Just Dance will sell more than any of the other games we're talking about.
I guess. I just don't feel like those people are watching these press conferences. I figured they're...
That's true.
They see it at Walmart and they buy it.
They're going to sell more copies of Just Dance than they will of Far Cry 4.
Sure. Yeah, they will. That's sadly true, but that's the way it is.
I mean, I'm going to buy it for my daughter. So there you go.
Yeah, well, so you're part of the problem. There you go.
Yes, I am. I am part of the problem. Internet, my bad.
Yeah, well, I've bought a couple of those games in the past for my daughter as well. She likes them, but I just don't feel like this is the time and the place. But obviously, whatever, they know what works better than we do.
Well,
so.
They probably would have showed more at the Microsoft press conference when they talked about it. Had Microsoft wanted anything to do with Kinect that day.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So Ubisoft showed off two Kinect games, Just Dance and Shape Up, which is an Xbox One exclusive, actually, or Xbox at least exclusive. It's a fitness game, so. You can be excited for that if you're looking to get in shape this season.
Speaking of in shape, Destiny looked cool.
Destiny did look cool. And we saw that at the Sony press conference. That was the game. Actually, I think Shank called that one as well on Total Heroes. He said that Sony would lead off with Destiny, and they did.
They did.
None of us expected a white PS4 Destiny bundle, though. That was a complete shock to me. And... I gotta say, I'm pretty excited about that white console and white controller. I would love to get my hands on one of those. But, Bradford, did you? Now I know you weren't at the Sony event, but I know you were watching it with a very close eye, right?
Sort of.
Okay.
I was watching it in between intermittent stutters.
Oh yes, well, I remember that from last year. Yeah.
Well, I got the stream working right at the end of the Destiny. I didn't actually see any of the Destiny gameplay.
Well, don't ask me about that because I'm not a fan of that game. I didn't think it looked very good at all. But I
tried to play it today.
Yeah, I heard your.
I got to the Sony. I got to the Sony booth and there's like no line. I'm like, okay, there's got to be something going on
Can't
here.
Can't be right.
Maybe they're only letting somebody in with a media badge. Hey, I've got one of those. Let's go over there. This is like. At 10 after 12. I mean, the show floor had been open literally 10 minutes. I get up there, and they're like, oh, yeah, no, you have to have a pass to get into this one. And I'm all out of passes for today. I'm like, the show's been open for 10 minutes. He's like, yeah, I know. I'm already tired.
Yeah, IGN is here. That's what they told you.
Well, and he's like, you know, Activision has the game at their booth as well. That one is a, you know, first come, first serve. I walked by there. I walked by that booth and just kind of laughed. I was like, yeah, I'm not standing on that line. So I'm not playing Destiny unless I can get a fast pass tomorrow morning.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. Well, so you know, this isn't the game for me. I did sign up for the alpha because they released news that starting this Thursday, PS4 owners will have the chance to get into the alpha version of the game and play it this weekend. So I signed up for that. I'll check it out if I can and see if it's any good. But it doesn't look like a game for me, so I don't really have a whole lot to say about that. But I know a lot of you guys out there are excited about that one. And when Shane comes back next week, if we decide to let him back, I'm sure he'll have a lot more to say about that because he's excited for that game. Now, my main interest in this conversation is to find out your overall opinions on Sony, because that's kind of the big thing is Microsoft versus Sony these days. So what did you think about the Sony press conference compared to the Microsoft press conference?
When the company whose system doesn't come with the camera talks more about their camera than the company whose system did come with it.
Yeah.
There's a problem.
They were
flip-flopped from what they were last year. Mm-hmm. I don't think Sony's press conference was bad by any stretch of the imagination. Okay, it was good.
Yeah.
But Sony had a chance to continue the momentum that they had been just rolling with since E3 last year, and I think they stumbled because I think they had to talk about their TV initiative. They briefly touched on it last year during their press conference, but it was and that. Their press conference was so good last year that was just kind of lost. Mm. They did mention that they're going to be doing a TV network, just like Microsoft. The problem is, they didn't shove it down your throat. They just said, oh, by the way, we're doing this. This year, they kind of shoved it down your throat. They talked about TV and TV-like objects for 30 minutes of their press conference.
Yeah.
Microsoft talked about TV and TV-like objects for about two, and that was only because a TV show is being bundled with a game that they're selling. That, I think, was the biggest difference between these. Microsoft's press conference was clearly all about games. Now, you can say what you want. You can say that those games were safe. You can say the press conference as a whole was safe. You can say that they were showing what we already knew. Okay, Sony was doing the same thing. We already knew about The Order. We already knew about Destiny. We already knew about Far Cry 4. But they had to talk about the other things. PlayStation TV, they talked about that. It was just so different than what anyone expected. I mean, when you sat down to watch that, you didn't expect them to talk about TV at all, I'm sure.
No, in fact, it's kind of funny. You and I were texting back and forth, or maybe we were tweeting about, you know, you were like, hey, they're showing PlayStation TV. What's the deal? They talk about TV and suddenly it's okay for Sony. And I was like, no, that's not what they're doing. They're introducing a device that isn't about TV. It's about streaming your game from your PS4 or your PS3 to any TV in the house. So if your wife is watching the TV show, you can go to another show or to another room and continue playing your PS4 or your PS3. And I thought that's cool. I was excited for that announcement. I was really excited for that.
Can't you do them on your Vita already, though?
If you have a Vita, and to be honest, it's not as good as people, in my opinion, it's not as good as people say it is. That there's not enough buttons on the Vita. It doesn't work as what it's not good. The point of the Vita TV is to stream your PS4 games in PS4 quality on other TVs using an actual controller, not your Vita. So I would use that in a heartbeat over the Vita remote anytime. Plus, it works with PS3 as well, so you can stream PS3 games. But I was happy with the announcement because I want that. I'm glad it's coming to America. I was okay with that, but we're texting back and forth, and they're like, they're not talking about TV shows or streaming TV, so it's not the same thing. And then, like, literally 10 seconds later, and by literally, I mean figuratively, whatever, like 10 seconds later, they said, oh, hey, and by the way, here's this amazing TV stuff we have for you, and we're going to bring this comic book show, and you can stream all this stuff, and we're bringing YouTube. And I was just, oh, okay, stop. I was actually texting Shank as well, saying, what are they doing? They have to stop, because they were just, they had this amazing conference. I thought, I mean, Microsoft did very well. I was very happy with Microsoft. I thought Sony was doing just as well. They were following the same line, and then they hit that, and they just took a steep dive off the cliff. Like, what are you doing? They were obviously forced into this by investors or the suits upstairs or something, because this made no sense. They've done so many things right over the last year and a half. To do this now was just shocking. It was shocking. That's all I can say. So they completely derailed the press conference. They came back, and of course they showed The Last of Us and Uncharted, and there's something else in there that I think looked pretty cool. I can't remember now. But again, it was nothing brand new, nothing we were like, oh, yes, that's awesome. We got to have that. That was the show stealer. So I think Sony flopped as well. I don't think it killed. They didn't, like, you know, if you're grading it, they didn't get a D because of that. But they seriously took away the momentum that they had. In fact, I think coming out of Monday, I feel like Microsoft maybe has a little more momentum than Sony at this point, because I think there's a lot of negativity about how Sony went about things in that press conference. And people are thinking, oh boy, here comes the Sony that we know and love.
Yeah, definitely.
They're going to trip over themselves and screw it all up again. So we'll have to see. I'm sure it'll be fine. I'm probably just being overly dramatic here, but, you know, that's what we do.
You know, and I think in the end, I think it will be fine. I don't think that they're dead. I don't think that, you know, I don't think that that Microsoft was ever dead. I never thought Microsoft was dead. So we're going to be fine. As gamers, you know, we have a very reactionary relationship with our games. It's either the way we want it or it's not good enough.
Yep, exactly.
And it could be like the greatest game in the world, but if it's not the way that you wanted it designed, it's the worst game ever.
Sure.
And I don't know. We'll see. I think the biggest disappointment, though, is that all of the games that we were shown, even when we bring in Nintendo's event this morning, the majority of the games that we really wanted to play coming out of those press conferences aren't coming out until next year.
Yeah.
And I think that is what made everything no matter who was talking, so underwhelming. We always see these games revealed at E3 and like, oh, by the way, this is going to come out holiday 2014. Yeah. The first hour of Microsoft's press conference, they made a point to say these games will be out by you know, end of 2014. And then every game after that was either maybe or was 2015. Sony had a lot of games that obviously are coming out 2014. You know, Destiny's going to be up. That's cross-platform. Mm-hmm. You're going to have I don't know about any other ones.
Well,
not off the top of my head.
There's The Last of
Far Cry 4, I'm sure, but that's also...
Yeah, The Last of Us
is coming. So is Drive Club the only first-party AAA title?
Yes, Drive Club is the only confirmed first-party.
It wasn't shown.
Exclusive, yeah. And people have been talking about that. I'm not sure it necessarily needed to be. I feel like they've shown that one enough, and I feel like if they'd shown it again, I would have just been like, okay, you could use that time to tell us something new, which they obviously didn't anyway, so maybe they should have just shown it.
Yeah.
Shown that instead of telling us about the TV.
Maybe. So, first day at E3, by the way, I saw a turn 10 employee playing Drive Club, so I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah, you got to check out the competition, right? That's interesting.
Yeah, I was sitting there playing The Order. Now, I didn't stand in line at the actual Order booth. For some unknown reason, they had a single station for The Order upstairs. Just to kind of let you know, the booths looked exactly the same as they did last year, basically, when it came to Microsoft and Sony. Mm-hmm. Only difference was Microsoft had more games to show off, so they had a much larger section to actually play those games. Sony's booth looked basically identical. So they had this little upstairs area where they're showing off, you know, the new PlayStation Now. They were showing off some of the games that are optimized for Vita. In fact, the turn 10 guy playing Drive Club was actually playing it using a Vita. He just wasn't looking at the Vita. He was looking at the TV. But they had a single station for The Order, and I don't think anyone knew about it because there was like two people waiting. I don't think anyone was going to tell anybody either.
Well, that's because that wasn't The Order. That was the unordered or something. It was like the wrong game.
I guess so. I guess so. Because if you looked out from right there, it's right across from the big setup they had. They had like this old Victorian-looking building set up, and that line was easily an hour and a half wait if you stood in that line.
Wow.
I wasn't doing that, so I stood for 10 minutes and then played The Order. And you're going to read more about it probably tomorrow morning. I'm going to write it up tonight.
Awesome.
But the game is gorgeous. Oh my gosh, the game is gorgeous.
That's good. Like, I'm excited to hear what you have to say because I'm not super like thrilled about that game, to be honest. I feel like I was never a big Gears of War fan, and I feel like it's just Gears of War in a different skin. And I obviously don't know that because we haven't seen enough, but that's my impression, and I'm just hoping it's more than just that. But I'll be interested to hear what you have to say when I read it tomorrow.
As I said, read the article because I don't want to spoil it here because I want people to go and actually read these things. Otherwise, yes. Why am I here?
Exactly.
The other game, I didn't get to play it, but I stood long enough in line to kind of see it. I stood in line to play Hyrule Warriors twice. Okay. I stood in line from about 1:30 till 2:10, and then I had to leave because I had an appointment with Square Enix with their free-to-play arena game called Nosgoth, which I'll talk about in a second. Then I went back at the end of the day, and the lady in the line's like, yeah, I don't think you're going to get the chance to play, because we close in like 15 minutes, and these demos are like 15 minutes.
Oh,
I was like, oh, I was just hoping in like the 15 stations you have for the single game, maybe somebody would finish in time.
Right.
So I'm going to go there first thing tomorrow morning, because I really want to play this game. The game looked awesome. And it was right across from where Splatoon was. I want to play that, too.
Sound looks interesting to me as well. When I first saw that today, I thought, God, that looks dumb. What is that? And then as I watched a little more, I thought, actually, that's kind of cool. I mean, you're not really out there to shoot other people. You're kind of covering the ground. I don't know. It looked interesting. Tell me what you thought, though.
The game looked stupid. Okay? Absolutely dumb.
Yeah.
Squids? Really? Really, Nintendo? Yeah. Squids? But then you like looked at it, and you're like, well, getting around the map is pretty cool like that. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, I'm not having to kill anybody, so I can play this with my daughter.
Yep, exactly.
All right, this game's pretty cool. This game is really cool. And I was looking at it, and I was looking at it from far away. They have this huge setup there. I was standing in line to play Hyrule Warriors, kind of watching the screens over at Splatoon, and the game looked amazing. Bayonetta 2 looked amazing as well, by the way. I don't know if anyone cares about that game, but it looked awesome.
Hmm. Nice.
Then I went and played Nosgoth, which I will have beta keys to give away. I talked to the community manager today. We're going to have about 10 beta keys for us to give away on some shows. But this is a free-to-play game. It's currently in closed beta, so that's why we'll have to give away the keys.
Is this an MMO? I don't even know what this is.
No. This, we've actually written a couple stories on it. Dave.
I don't read the website, so.
A couple of announcement stories. You actually don't read the website. But we have a very large community that loves to play Chivalry.
Oh, yes.
Game is along the same lines. Mm. You have humans versus vampires, and they control so differently. Vampires are fluid. They have very large amounts of verticality. There's no jump in this game. It's dodge and sprint if you're a human, or it's dodge and climb if you're a vampire. So the vampires have like a real advantage when it comes to their mobility. They're at a disadvantage because all of their attacks are melee, with the exception of one of the classes of a vampire that can pounce on you from far away. But it's, if you have a full health bar, you're not going to die from that attack. So it's still kind of balanced out. Contrast that with the humans. The humans are stockier. They seem to last a little bit longer. All of their attacks are from ranged. Every human has either a gun or a bow. The downside is they have very limited mobility in comparison. And I played two full matches of this, and each match you switch sides. So one half of the match you're the humans, the other half of the match you're the vampires. And I found myself liking the vampire a little bit better, but that's because I'm one of those players that likes to survey the battlefield. And as a human, the only class you can do that with is a scout. He's got a grappling hook. He can grapple onto the side of a wall and climb up it and then see the battlefield. As a vampire, you can climb that wall, jump from that wall onto another wall, climb that even higher wall. Oh, it's awesome. The fluidity of the motion is so good with the vampire. I don't want to talk too much about it because, again, I want people to go actually read the article I'm going to write.
Yeah.
But it is definitely worth your time. This game is being developed, and I don't even know the name of the studio that's developing it now. I feel awful. It'll be in the article. Square Enix is publishing it, so you've got some weight behind it. Mm-hmm. They had a pretty cool setup, too. They were in one of the meeting rooms. They had like this little kiosk at the Square Enix booth that said, hey, if you want to play this game, go upstairs. And it was really cool. I talked to one of the developers, and the idea has always been about balance. It's never been about making sure that they get people's money by buying things. If you're going to buy something, it's not going to enhance your gameplay. It'll just enhance how the game looks, I guess.
Sure.
So skins and stuff like that. So they're focused very much on the actual gamer and the gameplay itself. They want this to be an esports-style title, a competitive title. So you read about it tomorrow or the next day. I don't know if I'll get to write all of these up by tonight. The other
slacker,
major
please.
Thing... I know, huh, slacker? I'm going to have beers. Dude. The other major thing that I saw today is I played Fable Legends.
Mm, okay.
You're going to be disappointed, Brian.
I don't know if I am, because go ahead.
Well, you're not looking forward to this game from what I can tell.
No.
Okay. I like the idea of this arena-style gameplay that they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
I like the fact that they're not calling this Fable 4 as well, or the Fable reboot. This is just another game in the series that's different. The game feels really cool. I like the idea of the dude being the villain. And in fact, the villain won in our playthrough. The four different classes all played totally differently. I was playing the really squishy DPS guy. I was the dude with the rapier that you saw in the trailer, the guy in the red vest. It was a lot of fun because you'd think you cleared an area out. You get to the next area and start killing things. You come back to that area, and the villains put more monsters and traps there for you. Like, I was killing some monsters, and all of a sudden, I had a gate fall on me. It was really, really interesting. My only issue with the game was the camera can sometimes get really wonky.
Okay.
And so I found myself kind of, like, struggling to see my character. The other thing was is the way the controls are mapped, they weren't mapped all that well. So, like, the button that I would normally associate with a dodge in most games...
Mm-hmm.
was not the dodge, it was one of my special attacks, so I kept accidentally using an attack that I didn't want to use, and I mentioned that to the guy that was there. He's like, I just work here, I'm not one of the developers. I'm like, okay, well, you're a lot of help. And so when I found someone with a British accent, I told them.
That's always a great solution.
Yeah, well, it's from Lionhead. The game is cool. It's not the Fable everyone wants, but it's still a cool concept, a cool game. And I definitely think it's worth trying out if you have an Xbox One, because it's the only place you're going to get to play it.
Yeah.
Definitely worth trying out the multiplayer beta.
Yeah, you know, I'm not interested in that at all. But, I mean, I suppose I can see the appeal in this world we have now where there's a lot of MOBAs that, you know, people, you get in an arena and you just duke it out, or these, like, you know, the Smash Brothers kinds of games where it's just about fighting and getting past obstacles and stuff. It's just not for me at all. I mean, if the Xbox One had launched with Fable 4, or if they said it was coming out shortly, I probably would have bought an Xbox One, because that's literally one of my favorite games of all time. But, you know, I'm just not super excited about it. But what I am super excited about, actually, is another game that Nintendo unveiled today. The new Zelda game, which you wrote about on questcommunitynetwork.com. Zelda for Wii U, going so, open world.
When that game was shown at the during the direct, I was sitting in the media room, and there was audible cheers. Just one.
That's awesome.
You guys knew. That was pretty cool. I don't think anyone expected it to look that good. I certainly didn't. And I know it's like cel-shaded art style, just like Skyward Sword was. But the game looks cool. It looks gorgeous. And I think the open world aspect of the game will get a lot of players pretty cool. Because if you've played a Zelda game, you really haven't thought about this, but each Zelda has really bad invisible walls. Or visible if you played Ocarina of Time. I mean, you saw the walls. They were in front of you. They funneled you into one tiny little area. Mm-hmm. I think this is what everyone has been asking for that's our age, who's played Zelda all their lives, mm-hmm. but has played other RPGs since then. I mean, how many times have you thought to yourself, Brian, Zelda open world would be awesome?
Yeah, many.
Yeah, well, they're doing it. And it looks gorgeous to boot. Kotaku had a report of the footage in the trailer. It was from a non-gameplay angle, but it was all engine. So that's how the game was going to look.
Yeah. Yeah, and it looked beautiful. And the way they presented it today was really interesting. They had the screen behind, what's the guy's name?
I don't know. It wasn't Miyamoto. It was some other guy.
Yeah, one of the Nintendo guys. And it was just a nice, beautiful landscape shot. What I really loved is that he said, you see that mountain over there? If you want to go there, you can do that, which is exactly what I love to hear. I mean, you talk about Skyrim or Oblivion.
He was
talking
to Shank at that
point. He was. I even texted that to Shank. Shank was on a plane. He said, dude, text me what Nintendo says. And that was like the most important thing I sent him, was you can go anywhere. So I love that. I think it looks, we haven't seen a whole lot yet. I mean, it's a very small glimpse, and what I was watching was on my phone, so who knows what the resolution really was doing to me there, but it looked great, and I can't wait to see more, and that might be the game that says, okay, Brian, it's time to go buy a Wii U, because, wow, so far it looks great. Cautiously optimistic.
I was talking to my brother on Facebook about it, because my nephew Shane, his son, bought a Wii U for the next Zelda game. Mm-hmm. And I had been telling them, don't waste your money on a Wii U, okay? Yeah, the games are okay, you want to play Zelda, great. But the system is already out of date in comparison to the new systems. Mm-hmm. Don't waste your money on it. Just get an Xbox. Get a PlayStation. And they went ahead and bought the Wii U anyway because he wanted the Zelda game. So the minute that happened, I Facebooked him the link. And I also posted on Facebook that I'll probably be sleeping on his couch for a month.
Yeah. So. Yeah, it's hard to be too excited because we haven't seen much yet. I think just the fact that we've now seen it, and it doesn't look like the last few Zelda games. It looks a little more grown up, maybe. That makes me excited. So I can't wait to see what comes from that. It's going to be great.
So the last two games I saw today.
Yes, that's what I wanted to
ask.
And
then we can kind of wrap this up. I also had an appointment with Deep Silver. And if you remember the press conferences, what did they announce this weekend?
Why don't you tell us, because I can't remember.
So I saw gameplay for both Dead Island 2 and Homefront, Revolution.
That's right. Okay, excellent.
So I'll be writing about these as well. I took some pretty extensive notes. I'll be writing about these as well, but needless to say, they look really cool. Dead Island was the first game that we saw, and they were showing us a technical demo from 2013, so obviously it's not how the game is going to look at launch, but it was kind of, they mentioned, why are we showing you such an outdated technical demo? Well, this was the demo that basically helped us set the mood for the game. This is the demo that that made us realize what Dead Island 2 was going to be, and so we really wanted to show you. And, oh man, it didn't disappoint. The combat looks great, even as unpolished as it was in this demo. I'm trying to pull up my notes, actually. I just can't find them for some reason. There we go. So it takes place in California. California was one of the last places to get the infection, and once it started spreading, the U.S. government shut down California. So basically, it's, in their words, a zombie playground now. Thousands of weapons, visceral melee combat. They've got motorized weapons in the game. You can do weapon crafting, dual wielding. So basically, you can carry a machete in one hand and a shotgun in another. It's going to have 8-player multiplayer, and you can either cooperate, compete, or simply coexist, is what they said. Which I think is pretty cool. You're not obligated to do anything in this. Or if you want to go around and see who can kill the most zombies, you can. Or you can help each other. This is also the first game they did motion capture on a real cat.
Sorry. Wow, that's crazy.
First game ever. And the reason being is because the story-driven NPC is named Max, and he's got a cat named Rick Furry. So there's a joke there.
Yeah, sorry about that.
You're fine. So the game looked really cool. It is going to be out on when is it going to be out? They said it. Can't remember. Oh, they also have next-gen balloon physics. They really wanted to make sure we mentioned that.
You got to have that.
The balloons. Yeah. So the game is going to run on Unreal Engine 4, and they did show us an in-engine environment demo. And that was one thing I noticed with the combat demo they did, the one that was running from 2013. The environments didn't look great, but they had mentioned they weren't going to. I didn't think we were going to see actual in-engine footage of the way the game looks now. The game looks amazing. I mean, it's not CryEngine fidelity, like the super beastie sure. CryEngine fidelity.
Yeah,
but it still looks great. They're only developing this on the new platforms, so Gen 4 plats and PC. So you're not going to have any of that sacrifices they make normally for Xbox 360 and PS4. So I'm gonna have a write-up about this. I'm gonna have two separate write-ups for the Deep Silver booth because I think each game deserves their own write-up. I also saw the new Homefront: The Revolution. This is made by Crytek on CryEngine, the new CryEngine, by their Nottingham, UK studio. They basically acquired the IP in 2012 and have been working on this game ever since. The game is set in Philadelphia, and they chose this location simply because this is the birthplace of freedom. Birthplace of independence, excuse me, and they thought that would be a fitting place to have a revolution take place again against the North Koreans, who have been occupying the U.S. since 2025. This game basically takes place 4 years after the original Homefront. In fact, the North Koreans have set their capital as Philadelphia as a dig to the Americans. They did show us a gameplay demo of that as well, and while the Dead Rising demo, Dead Island demo. There's too many zombie games. I can't keep track of them.
They really are. Yeah.
While the Dead Island demo, I knew was a old prototype, and they told us there were going to be issues, and there was a lot of screen tearing and stuff in the Dead Island demo, but that was expected because of how old the demo was. They didn't tell us how old this demo was. I was a little upset at the outset of the demo with the way the game looked, and when the firefight got real heavy, we did see some slowdowns with it. But the moments where it didn't slow down, you know, the frame rates were smooth. Oh my gosh, man. Oh my gosh. Shank is going to drool over this game. Oh. It's just, there's no way around it. And anyone who has a PC beastie enough to play this. And I did talk to their lead gameplay designer. Let me see if I can find his name. Because I asked a very Shank-like question to him. I figured I'm going to talk to somebody from Crytek. I better ask a question that if Shane found out I talked to a Crytek person and didn't ask, he'd probably fly out of Vegas and skin me. I talked to Adam Duckett, who's the lead designer for this game, and I asked him very simply, okay, so it's only coming to new gen and PC. Is this game being made with the PC in mind and then ported to the other consoles so that you maintain the highest graphic fidelity on the PC version? And he kind of danced around it. Didn't want to come out and say yes, because if that's quoted in a newspaper, it looks bad on their relationship with Microsoft and Sony.
Sure.
but he did state that the game is being built on PC. Okay. So that to me is sort of yes. Some of the cool things that I noticed was there was some stealth. There's stealth kills in there. There's also customizable weapons. You're gonna see it very familiar if you play Crysis 3 and customized your bow and stuff. It looks a lot the same. There were RC car drones. Basically, they had to blow up this wall, and they planted a bomb on an RC car and drove it to the wall. It's pretty cool.
Nice.
This game was also due out in 2015. Dead Island is, I believe, spring. This one is just 2015, so there's no window, just 2015. Yeah. It's going to be on Xbox One, PS4, PC, Mac, and Linux.
Awesome. That sounds great. And speaking of sounding great, if you would like things to sound better, why don't you head on over to one of our fabulous sponsors, tweakedaudio.com, where you can check out a great lineup of earbuds that they have there. If you're looking for some new sound to hook up to your phone, your computer, your tablet, whatever you might be needing to stay connected to, check out tweakedaudio.com. They've got the kind of earbuds you can put in. They have the inline mic so you can pick up your phone calls while you're walking down the street listening to music, or you can just get your standard earbud set that is better quality than the cheaper kind you buy at like a Walmart or something like that. These are really good. I've had a pair myself. I don't use them anymore because I lost them. The good news is that if you have any problems with your earbuds, you can contact them and say, hey, I ran over them with my lawnmower. And they'll send you out a new pair free of charge. So that's pretty awesome. Free shipping worldwide.
I don't know how to stay in business.
I don't either. Especially with the VAR one sending back so many pairs. It's amazing. Head over to tweakedaudio.com. Use our code OffTheRecord. You can get 30% off your entire order. So you can order 30 sets of earbuds for all your friends and family. And they'll give you 30% off that entire order and free shipping. So do that right now. Use those Tweaked Audio earbuds to listen to Console Wars on audibletrial.com/questgamingnetwork, and you will be one crazy connected fool, and we would appreciate your support. Bradford, we've talked about a lot here today. We've talked about some new games we have coming out in the near future, some that are coming out who knows when. We talked about the major press conferences. Is there anything else you'd like to touch on before we kind of wrap things up tonight?
So I did see one more game. I lied.
Okay, let's hear it.
I saw Middle Earth: Shadow of Mordor.
Ah, yes. Tell us about that.
No, that looks awesome. I'm gonna make you guys read this one.
Oh.
So stay tuned.
Okay. All right. Well, yes, you can stay tuned to QuestGamingNetwork.com for that. Bradford is there in Los Angeles. He's not just watching it on TV and pretending to be there. He's actually there. So he's got all the goods. He's getting his hands on these new games. He's checking them all out. He's interviewing developers, building great relationships, and he's got some really cool stuff coming for you in the coming days. So stay tuned to QuestGamingNetwork.com. With any luck, this show will be posted tonight. You'll be able to hear it on Wednesday, but I am the one doing it, so who knows if that will happen. It might end up on IGN or something like that. Who knows? But the wrong site is going to where it's going to end up at. So
who knows?
Yeah. I think I've said everything I would like to say tonight on this. Bradford, any final words? Anything else you want to let people know about in the event that they actually hear this before you leave E3?
I'm going to be in a lot more meetings and actual demos with developers tomorrow and Thursday. So you're not going to see a ton of stuff from me from the actual show floor, because a lot of the places I'll be going, I won't be allowed to take video or pictures. I do still plan on getting my hands on Sunset Overdrive at Microsoft. That is one game I am playing before I leave here. I don't know how much I'm going to get done at the Sony booth, because there is just a ton of stuff there. I'll do my best, but my day tomorrow is pretty book solid. I'll be in. I'll be either at pre-scheduled appointments at a booth or a pre-scheduled appointment at a meeting room for most of the day. I will be stopping by Bethesda tomorrow at 1 o'clock to check out what they've got there. I think they may have something about Doom, probably not playable because it's not going to be revealed until QuakeCon. They may just show us the same trailer. I don't care. I'll go see it again. I am also going to try out Battlecry, their arena game, which seems to be a popular trend nowadays, guys.
Yeah.
So I'll check that out, and I know Elder Scrolls Online will be there, so I'll see if I can catch up with Gina, see if any of the developers are there, talk about the game as well. I'm also going to be checking out... Here, let me just pull up my calendar real quick. So I'm going to be checking out Wargaming at 11:30. I've got I've got Something with Perfect World at 12, Bethesda at 1. I'm going to be talking with Skullcandy, Astro Gaming Headsets at 2:30. I'll be checking out all the indie games at the Indie Showcase later on that day. Thursday, I've got CD Projekt Red, so I'll be checking out The Witcher 3.
Yes.
I'll be talking to people over at Razer. I'll be seeing 2K, which will be the Tales from the Borderlands game. I think Borderlands the pre-sequel also. I'll be checking out... What else do they have there? Sid Meier's Civilization Beyond Earth, which is awesome.
Yeah.
And Evolve. I'll be able to get hands-on with Evolve. And then from 4... Yeah, from 4 to 5, I'm going to be getting hands-on with Dying Light. So...
Excellent.
Yeah, it's on Thursday. But we're going to try to get everything wrapped up. I'll try to have everything written up before I get back. Otherwise, just be prepared for some articles next week.
Awesome, yeah. And while you're talking to Razer, I would really appreciate it if you would try to grab me one of those new Naboos. I would appreciate that.
Yeah, that's actually one reason why I scheduled the appointment, is I want to try that out.
Yeah, cool.
Hopefully they're giving demos or what.
Yeah, I hope it's there.
I actually went to their booth today. I didn't actually see one.
Oh, all right. One last thing I want to mention, just because we didn't talk about it, and it's pretty big news. Grand Theft Auto V is coming to PS4, Xbox One, and PC this fall. So all those of you who didn't buy the game because you wanted to get it on next gen.
Content.
Yes, exactly. That's huge news. I'm very excited about that because I kind of stopped playing it, kind of expecting it to come eventually, and wanted to kind of save the majority of my playthrough for then. So I'm looking forward to that. Guys, again, I apologize if there's any audio issues in this episode. You can blame it completely on Shank, and that'll be just fine. So follow us on Twitter. Follow the show Totally Heroes on Twitter, at Totally Heroes. You can follow Bradford at LOTRLORE. You can follow Shank. I'm sure he'll be talking about all kinds of fabulous wedding hijinks this week. He's not getting married. Oh, that'd be kind of funny. Text him or tweet him, say congratulations on the wedding. That'd be awesome. At Shank the Tank, SHANKTHTANK. Follow Dave Deenforce Adams at DIENFORCE. Send him a tweet. Tell him you're thinking about him. He's a great guy, and we miss him, and we want him back soon. But honestly, this has been a great show, so if he doesn't come back, I think it'd be okay. I think me and Bradford could carry it from now on. So... Yeah. And yeah. You can follow me if you really want to at SilentFury007. Let's see. Boy, what else should we tell you about? You can find us on QuestGamingNetwork.com. We have all kinds of news and opinion articles. We cover, obviously, E3 and pretty much anything that's important going on in the gaming world. You can go there to learn more about other shows like Elder Scrolls Off the Record, SWTOR Reforged. Yeah, this is not usually my gig. Minecraft Off the Record is back every other Friday, swapping places with Classic Elder Scrolls Night. So they're going to be every other Friday. So one night it's Minecraft Off the Record. The next Friday it is Minecraft Off the Record, or Classic Elder Scrolls Night. Lots of great stuff coming down the road in the future. Check out our feed on iTunes. We got all of our subscription-based shows you can get there. Find us on YouTube at youtube.com/QuestGamingNetwork. Twitch.tv/QuestGamingNetwork, where you can normally see this show and all of our other shows. We had some crazy difficulties tonight with the technology, so that's why we're not there tonight. But yes, I think that's how all the ways you can find us. Of course, email us, QuestGamingNetwork@gmail.com.
That or QuestGamingCommunity@gmail.com.
There you go. Yeah, try one of those. And thank you guys for bearing with us tonight. It's been a crazy show, but it was great to get Bradford on here to talk about E3. That's where all of our eyes are at right now. I'm sure you're following along as well. Stay tuned to our Twitter feeds, Quest Gaming Network, or at Quest Gaming, I apologize, and follow Bradford as well, at LOTRLORE, for all the latest from E3, and we'll keep you updated. Bradford, any final thoughts before I kick my computer and say, holy crap, I am finally done, this has been terrible?
I'm really tired and hungry, so I think I'm going to go get food.
Yes, you do that, go get some food, get some rest, we'll see you tomorrow at E3.
Seriously, I do want to thank everybody who's listening to the show, because by you listening to the show, I'm here. So seriously, thank you. We wouldn't have even wasted the time and money doing this if you guys weren't so giving and weren't as awesome of a community as you guys are. So thanks again from the bottom of my heart. Dreams come true for the second time. I don't know if that's possible, but I'll continue to say it is. And And yeah, keep following. You're going to see most of the tweets coming from the official account, but I will send some stuff out from my personal one every now and then. So yeah, Shadow of Mordor is going to be coming up tomorrow. Just wait for that one.
Yeah, read about that on questgamingnetwork.com, guys. All right. Thank you, everybody. Thanks for tuning in. Come back soon, Shank and Dave. And we will see you guys next time. Take care.
All right, guys. Namadie.
Oh, and my daughter Reese says bye as well. Say bye, Reese.